Good morning and welcome to Jump In Tucson. I am Ted Maxwell and this is the Engagement Hour. Matt Neely's behind the glass, keeping me on time and target as always. It's all, you're always perfect, Matt.
We keep those wings level, Ted.
We keep the wings level. We keep the nose up from the ground, and it all goes well. Big day yesterday. This Engagement Hour is all about getting people involved in their community. There's a lot of different ways to serve. As Americans living in the greatest country on this planet, there's a lot of rights and responsibilities that come along with that as citizens. And today, we're going to take that look and make a deep dive into what some of those are, why they, there's some duties, what I like to say is rights, responsibilities, and duties. And we're going to take a look at what how we can all get engaged and what we should be doing. And today I'm very pleased and honored to have with me as my guest is Bill number one, if you're a wakey, but if you're not, Bill Beard. So thank you for joining me this morning, Bill. We're going to be a little out of what I'd call a normal Jump in Tucson Engagement Hour, because this will be a lot of discussions, a lot of introductions, but it will also be maybe a little more Q&A if we get any questions coming from the audience. So thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Ted. Maybe a little history for the listeners. When this show debuted about a year ago, you and I had some conversations offline about what the show is about, et cetera, et cetera. And I was all in for what we were talking about. But one of the things, and I guess it's the teacher in me, I was a teacher back in the day, that is constantly there, is sometimes you have to define what it is you're actually talking about. Make sure the parameters are fully understood so that the conversation about civic engagement can actually occur, not just from an educated point of view, but from an a fundamental understanding of what the context should be about. It's not just about, I'm mad at, a representative or council member or mayor or supervisor X because they said or did this. What is it you're supposed to be doing as a citizen, and take the conversation from there? And one of the things I'll never forget is, I grew up in this community and had a lot of different influences on my life. But one of them is my sixth grade civics teacher, Mr. Tuttle at Steele Elementary out there on the east side of Tucson. I'm old enough that, we actually had a civics class in elementary school that talked about what it is you are supposed to do in a self-governing society. And to my mind, I've never really forgotten that lesson. It's not just that you have rights and, the media and books and online, everywhere we talk about rights. But the thing that has stuck with me over all these years is, he was insistent that you did not leave that classroom unless you understood you have rights in a self-governing society, but you have an equal obligation of responsibilities to exercise those rights in a way that is actually productive, not just for you as a citizen, but for the society writ large. And that's, I think, where my focus and everything I've tried to do, either personally, professionally, politically, profit world, nonprofit world, has always been around that idea of, yeah, you've got rights, but what are those responsibilities that go along with exercising those rights? And I think that's where you and I kind of hit it off with that initial conversation, and we ran into each other again a few weeks ago and said, let's actually have that conversation.
And I appreciated the wisdom that we and discussion we had back a year ago. It's hard to me. It's been over a year and haven't had this discussion. We talked about trying to find other people who would be good. Maybe, find one of those civics teachers like the one you remembered. And finally, it just came very clear to me. Okay, no, I'm bringing in Bill Beard because the passion's there. One thing I want you to do, this may be the only uncomfortable portion of the show, is I want you to give people a little bit of your background and how you got engaged, because this show is about engagement. And I met you for the first time back in either 2013, 2014, in that time frame when I first came on with working for General Shootman.
I remember that conversation at the old
restaurant's not there anymore.
I'm drawing a blank on where it was again.
It was Pastiche.
Yes, it was.
We were at Pastiche.
Yeah.
So can you just give people background? You said you're a Tucsonan.
Yes.
You grew up here. You talked about the influence of your sixth grade instructor. What led to some of the other things you've done over time and how you've been engaged in your civic duties?
I think it comes about, and I've kiddingly said this, not just on the air, but in engagement with different people over there over the years, is I grew up here. I'm a fourth generation Tucsonan. This is a place that will always be home to me. I dearly love this place. With all the warts and blemishes we may have, it is home and it will always be home. And as I kiddingly refer to it, I just got tired of morons running the place and destroying the things that I love about this community. And the thing that really motivated me on a personal level, I've always been someone that when something bothers me, I want to get to the heart of why it is that I'm bothered by it. And I'll dig into the research. I'll nerd out on things in a way that others maybe wouldn't. And I went to vote in 2010. Short version is I was troubled by it. I couldn't figure out what it was. And as I put my ballot in the box, it was a general election. And as I was leaving, I looked at the sample ballots that used to be posted on the wall. They still are, but they're sometimes harder to find depending upon where you are. But the thing that I realized was there was nothing in that election that was posted that referred to the Amphi School Board. And at the time, I had lived in the Amphi School District for quite a few years, paid taxes, done all those other things that, you know, we learn in grade school about, you know, no taxation without representation, et cetera, et cetera. And I talked to the election officials that were there at the polling center, Ellie Town Neighborhood Community Center, and they kept pointing their fingers. We don't know what the problem is. They put me on the phone, said, call the recorder's office, call the elections department. After 45 minutes of multiple phone calls to both agencies here in Pima County, the others, their basic response was, after explaining the situation, they said, it's not our problem. Go talk to the other election officials. And I was annoyed enough that I went home. I contacted, I had friends that were actually running in the Amphi School District election. I contacted them. I tracked down the other people in the Amphi School Board that were on the ballot that year. And I said, this is a problem. I finally got a call back from the attorney. We talked about it. He was equally alarmed. I had been a frequent caller to radio shows at the time. So I called in all the radio shows, explained the situation. And it forced Brad Nelson, who was the election director at that time, to go out and figure out what was going on. Turns out that election, we still had polling locations for precinct voting. It wasn't these vote centers we have these today. And the problem was that it was a combined election where they had two different precincts from two different school districts voting at the same location. To further complicate things, there was a city election issue on that ballot. And in both precincts, roughly half the precinct was in the city and roughly half was in the county. So if you do the math, two precincts from two different school districts, Flowing Wells and Amphi, plus each precinct had half in the city, half in the county, you should have started the day with four types of ballots. The election officials started the day with two types of ballots. Long story short, they discovered that there were maybe a couple hundred people that were impacted. It wasn't enough to throw off the vote. But it irked me enough in digging into it that, did this happen just to me or was it happening elsewhere? I got a hold of the memos that were internal to Pima County, found that the problem was not unique to my vote center or polling location. It was not unique to that particular election. It had been a problem for years in Pima County, and it prompted me to actually run for recorder back in 2012. I've been involved actively in the Republican Party in some partisan and some nonpartisan issues over the years since then. And, those lessons in Mr. Tuttle's sixth grade civics class have stuck with me all these years. You know, no taxation without representation actually means something, et cetera. So that's where I got my start in this lovely world of the political in Southern Arizona.
That's why I asked this question of almost all my guests. What was it that inspired you to get engaged? Because you obviously had taken Mr. Tuttle's class very serious all the way up to that point in your life. And then 2010 wasn't right after your high school graduation.
No.
So it was,
I'm 62.
But it was something like that got you fired up to get engaged. So when we come back, the first thing we're going to do is jump into what are civic duties and responsibilities and Where do they come from? So you're listening to Jump in Tucson on on 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. Bill Beard is my guest today to talk about our civic responsibilities. We'll see you after the break. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson, the Engagement Hour. I'm Ted Maxwell, your host. My guest today is Bill Beard. We learned in the first segment how he got educated on civics, and then more importantly, how he got fired up and got engaged both politically and in the civic structure of doing what's right, what our responsibilities are, and in some cases, I'd call them duties. So, Bill, I know we wanted to start with just laying the foundation. Mm-hmm. Where is it that if somebody doesn't know what their civic duties and responsibilities should be, where is it that they come from and where can they find information?
Well, I always go back to what the founders of this country set about to do. And it, from different perspectives, you can argue the pluses and minuses, you know, those rich, white, bigoted, homophobic, misogynistic, et cetera, pick your, derogative adjective that you prefer. But they set about doing something that is unique in human history, number one. But number two, I think more importantly, they sussed out something that had been talked about. You know, you can go back to Homer and Plato and, Locke and Montesquieu and all the other philosophers you want to. But they had sussed out something that was kind of unique in that they put it down on paper and said, look, humanity, this thing called humanity, these human beings, these flawed creatures, there is something about us as human beings that we're flawed. We make mistakes. And they didn't just put that part on paper, but they also said, there's also something that's unique in humanity that also we can be better than ourselves. We can see that shining city on the hill. We can see the next hurdle that's maybe challenges us in a way that we will speak to the better angels of our nature. And by doing so and setting up a system of government that basically saw the flaws, but was aspirational in the aspect of we're always trying to do better. And by putting that on paper and designing a system with checks and balances, designing a system where no one person has the ability to manipulate the system in the way that throughout the rest of human history was the case. The norm was the power of the fist, the power of the blade, the power of the gun that determined what it was that societies were going to do. Whether it was a monarchy, whether it was a quasi-republic in terms of what Rome was trying to do, or just, you know, again, the power of the fist, the power of might was the way that societies were designed around and were successful. And we can argue the pluses and minuses, but they were successful in that they had the power and they determined what was going on. By setting up the system that our founders did, they said to all of humanity, and I came across an article in researching what we were going to talk about today from the Hoover Institute. And the guy is Michael Joyce. It was from several years ago, but talked about what it was from an outsider's perspective that makes this country so unique. And I just want to read a couple of things here. It is often noted that outside observers of the American experiment tend to express a more profound appreciation for the remarkable achievements of our nation's founders than we do ourselves. Burke and Talleyrand, Gladstone and Tocqueville, Thatcher and Maritain have all marveled at the truth of a proposition that before the exceptional birth of freedom here had been considered at best problematic, that the people have the capacity to govern themselves. Following, it goes on to talk about how when John Paul II was the Pope in Rome, and Lindy Boggs was appointed the ambassador to the U.S., she presented her credentials to the Pope, and John Paul took the occasion to remind her that our great experiment in self-government left America with a far-reaching responsibility, not only for the well-being of its own people, but for the development and destiny of peoples throughout the world. go back to what happened when the Declaration of Independence was written and it was distributed around the world. To this day, those words of that rich, white, bigoted, homophobic group of America's founders still inspire people all around the world. It does it in a way, again, going back to what I said in the earlier segment, this isn't just about what we as the people that happen to be born on this particular chunk of dirt believe in. It was the aspirational idea that humanity as a whole, if you give us the opportunity and have a level playing field under which you can do the things you want to do in your own personal life, you can succeed far beyond anything human beings have ever tried to do. And that is at the core of, I think, what civic engagement should be and is all about. It's you, me, all of us deciding we've got some personal things we want to do, but we come together to decide what the larger group is going to do under a system of rules that everybody has an opportunity to speak, everybody has an opportunity to engage, everybody has the opportunity to do the things they want to do for their own success, but not at the expense of everybody else. And I think that's what's unique about this country, what the idea of civics and civic engagement is all about. And we sometimes forget, as people that are, you know, they're angry at the latest thing they heard on the radio or the TV. They throw whatever at it. They see an online article on their phone and they get super charged up. But at the core of all of that is the idea that I do have the ability to engage in this process in my own unique way. Maybe it'll be writing a letter. Maybe it'll be making a phone call. Maybe it'll be showing up at a city council meeting or a board of supervisors meeting and complaining about the thing that the government did or didn't do last week. And that is the heart and soul of what it is we're supposed to do as citizens. Back to your earlier comment about you have responsibilities, you have duties. And that is what those founders put down on paper, and we've tried very hard ever since then, going to soon be 250 years, that's unique throughout all of human history, but it's also something that puts an obligation on those of us today. We have a responsibility to continue that work.
And that is so true. It is a responsibility. Now, varying citizenry and where we are in our stage of life, it's going to look different for everybody. But there are a whole list of things that you can do. And you rattled off some of those, you know, just showing up, using your voice, expressing your opinion, listening to the opinions of others. So many things that play into that. And yeah, 250 years and many other nations and the leaders of those nations still like to refer to us as an experiment, because it is truly, truly the nation that lives by that self-rule.
And to my mind, it's one of the grandest experiments humanity has ever embarked upon, because when you set about living your life, you know, you got kids, you're maybe starting out in your life, you just got out of school, you're out there trying to figure out what you want to do with your life, you're a little, you're in middle age and maybe there's some grandkids coming along, or you're getting close to retirement, or you're even in post-retirement and you know, the end of your life will be around soon enough. You still have aspirations of what you want to do in your life. They may be small and insignificant to the rest of the world, but they're important to you. You have the ability to engage and be a part of this greater experiment in your own unique way. And how you go about doing that is what is the important part. You have to be something that's more than just a bump on a log. Go back to, you know,
something greater than yourself.
You know, we talk about, you know, right, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The founders were purposeful when they used that phrase, you know, pursuit of happiness. If you go back through history, it was a combination, and it was used interchangeably. The pursuit of happiness and the pursuit of property, those were used interchangeably a couple hundred years ago for one very important reason: the ability to own yourself And it's casually dismissed by elected officials these days in a way that drives me nuts sometimes. You cannot say that my ability to own the chunk of dirt, to own the car, to own the hat, whatever it is, starts and ends with the ability for you to own yourself and be responsible for your own actions, your own sense of who and what you are. In pursuing that property, you're also pursuing your own personal happiness. It is not an endpoint. It is a goal that is always a little bit higher tomorrow than it was today.
And that's a great point. It's about the pursuit. It doesn't ever stop. And I don't think we ever, as citizens, should stop trying to help make things better. That's the voice of Bill Beard. We're having a deep dive on civics today on Jumpin' Tucson, the Engagement Hour. You're listening to 1030 The Voice. We'll see you after the bottom of the hour break. Good morning and welcome back to Jumpin' Tucson, the Engagement Hour. I'm Ted Maxwell and that's Matt Neely taking me back to the early 1970s when I was taking civics courses at East Whittier Junior High School and ever ran for something, you know, for the student body president of middle school.
I think wasn't part of Back to the Future filmed at Whittier High School?
It was. Oh, yeah.
Just saw that over the weekend.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's where the expertise of Matt Neely comes in all the time. So we've been having a great discussion with Bill Beard, and I told him during the break, man, this time is going to fly because his passion for civics and his understanding and the knowledge talked about on the last segment about the Declaration of Independence. And as you said, it was kind of the mission statement, kind of the vision, mission. You can combine it as both. But when we talk about our civic rights and our responsibilities, those really are defined more in what you refer to as the operating manual for this great experiment that's now 250 years strong. And by any definition, one of the most influential and powerful countries in the world now. And that was the Constitution.
Yep.
So can you talk a little bit about what the Constitution says we should do and how it defines and puts really kind of a flag in on how we, in a rule of self-government, need to be involved?
And you know, it touched on it earlier, you know, the idea that this is the Constitution was the operating manual. How do you go about fulfilling that mission statement in the Declaration of Independence? And, you know, the Constitution goes about, and you can sit there and argue about the negative side of everything that was involved in putting the Constitution together. But again, go back and think of it in terms of, you know, being an aspirational document in terms of what it is humanity is set on its course to do through the entire arc of history that predates America, predates, Magna Carta, predates, you know, civilization writ large. What is it that you're trying to get? What is that shining city on the hill you're trying to achieve or trying to get to? And the Constitution set about basically identifying, you know, a system where you had a federal government that was not just one person that was in charge of everything. You had that, that tripod system of three separate but co-equal branches of government that each one had a responsibility to fulfill the mission statement, but they had a specific area of responsibility. And in exercising or going about exercising those responsibilities at the federal level, no one person had just their own area that was unique to them that didn't have the ability for the other two branches to also come in and say, no, that's not the right way you're supposed to be doing that. And that push and pull, that sense of, okay, you've got some responsibilities over there, but as the executive, I can look in and say, no, Congress, you can't do it that way. Vice versa, the Congress can say, okay, federal government at the judiciary level, you say that this is unconstitutional. We've got the ability to put something out there that would amend this ability of this document to continue to be an operating system that we can all live and work in under. But like all operating manuals, there are things that come along as the engine is running and the mechanism is moving forward. How do you, maybe tweak something that maybe wasn't thought about when those rich, bigoted, white, homophobic folks sat down and figured out the system? They also put in place the ability of that system to be changed, but in a way that actually had buy-in from the people out in the states. We are a United States of America. We are not, yes, we are one nation, but it's, you know, e plednista, you know, out of many one, e plednista unum. We're set up in a way that everybody has the ability to look over the shoulder of the other guy and say, no, that's not the way you're supposed to do that. Not just at the federal level, but at the state level and the local level. We have the ability to engage with our government in a way that says, I, as the citizen, don't like what you're doing. I have the ability to change that either by changing the people that are in that office, or by changing the operating system in a way that the rest of the citizens can have more freedom, more access to whatever it is that you're talking about. One of the things that I always go back to, though, when it comes to our constitutional rights, is that voting right. And if you think about it from a just the average citizen standpoint, the right to vote is probably one of the most unique rights that we have as citizens, because you have a regularly scheduled appointment to exercise your voting right. It's defined in the Constitution. It's defined in the Arizona Constitution. It's even defined in the city charters. It is something that says I, as the citizen, have the ability at the appointed date and time to show up and say to that government official, and it is a government official that is running that polling location, hey, I, the citizen, am in charge of this process, not you, the government, telling me what I can and can't do. The balance is in favor of me as the citizen, not you as the government. Now, yeah, the government has the ability to wield a very heavy and sometimes financially costly hammer, but it is limited in the ability of the citizens to say, no, you can swing that hammer, but as Charles Heller likes to say on his show from time to time, your ability to swing that hammer ends at the ability of me to use my hammer. You know, there's this cutoff. And if government exceeds that swing of its hammer, there's an endpoint at which you cannot go any further.
And I appreciate you brought up the fact that it's not just defined by the U.S. government and the Constitution. It's defined at the state level. It's defined at the local level. We have our set dates. Quite often the states, not so much the states, but the cities for sure, and the municipalities and the counties will put them on at funky times, so it's not November. We've got a vote coming up in the city of Tucson in March. There's a reason they put it there, because it does drive lower turnouts and gives the kind of swings that balance of the hammer back to the government employing what they want versus the citizens, unless the citizens show up.
And that's the key. You do, you know, back to the earlier, you know, you've got rights, but you've got responsibilities, as you say, duties. You got to show up and actually participate in this thing. Again, back to that Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is an active verb. you can't just sit there and passively let things happen and somehow you're magically part of it. Well, you know, as the saying goes, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And, you got to be out there and engage in the process. Maybe it's something as simple as filling in a bubble on a ballot, but you got to fill in that ballot and then make sure it gets into the right receptacle so that it is counted and your voice is heard. Letting it sit on your kitchen table past the deadline to mail that sucker in or take it in person. Okay, yeah, you got your ballot, but if you don't do anything with it, that's on you. That's not on the rest of us. And back to your point a minute ago, that is what some of those government officials are relying on. It's at a time of year where a lot of folks are in post-holiday bliss still. This thing shows up in their mailbox the second week of February. Okay, they may not even recognize it as a ballot for a city election. What do you do with it? Well, you got to pay attention. And that goes back to your duty and your responsibility to make sure that you're actually engaged in the process and understand, oh, the city of Tucson is actually going to have an election and maybe I should participate.
Absolutely. To me, the voting right of voting is the one that demonstrates our right, our responsibilities to be informed, and our duty is to vote and execute that right. So going through some of the other rights and response or rights that we've got, it's interesting as I look down the list, because some of the rights we have are freedoms. The list I've got lists seven, with four of them being rights, where you have to actually, it's only to your advantage if you use it. The freedoms are pretty straightforward. Express express yourself. You've got the freedom to express yourself in our country. You've got the freedom to worship as you wish. You've got the freedom to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But the rights, you've got a right to a prompt, fair trial by jury. That's something that can be impeded upon either by the government or by the people not in saying, no, this is my right. And you have the right to waive that sometimes. So it's something that requires action. The right to vote, we've talked about that one a lot. The right to apply for federal employment requiring U.S. citizenship. Anybody that's got a U.S. that's a U.S. citizen can apply to those jobs. And then the right to run for elected office.
Yes. Yes.
So when we can do things with our vote, but when it comes down to it, if you really want to make a difference and make a change, and there's something you're adamant about, that's when people sometimes step in and run for those elected positions.
And having put my name on the ballot twice, for the public to weigh in on, I will say that I would encourage anybody that has even a milliliter of activism in them to run for an office sometimes, because it does something unique that I hadn't really thought about prior to running myself. And when you run for office, there are people that will say and do things on your behalf. And for me, it was the recognition that I will never meet these people. I will never know their names, but they were doing things on my behalf so that I could win that elective office. And if that does not supercharge whatever, part of you that says I'm engaged in this process and I'm an American and I'm doing these things to improve American society, if that doesn't supercharge that impulse in your life, you're not a human being, because that is something I will always look back on, even though I did not win. That idea that there were other people, I don't know who they are. I will never know who they are. That they did something on my behalf, that just humbles me in a way that I never want to lose that sense of obligation back to those people that did something on my behalf.
And that being said, so that right to run for elected office, part of our responsibility is to get out and get engaged in that process when somebody is. It's easy to sit around and complain about what our elected officials should do, but we've got to look at ourselves every once in a while and say, okay, so what are we doing to make it better? And that includes that responsibility of getting engaged in the process.
I always go back to, can you look yourself in the mirror at the end of the day and say, I did all I could do, okay? And when it comes to being a citizen, that is something we should ask ourselves every day. Did I participate? Did I do something to move the needle? Again, back to that idea that this is an active thing that you have a responsibility to be a part of. Sometimes it is making a call to a radio show. Sometimes it's writing a letter to the editor of the newspaper, even if it's a newspaper nobody reads. Okay, I get all that. But that is all part of this building to that better future, that better tomorrow, that, Ronald Reagan shining city on a hill. All of those things are part of this. And if we do not engage, if we do not participate, you can disagree with me all you want to. I'm happy to have that conversation with you. I want to have that conversation with you. But you've got to do your part. You've got to stand up and get engaged in the process. You may not have the words. You may not have the ability to articulate things in a way that you feel comfortable saying words out loud. But you have the ability to engage in a way that no other human beings in human history have ever had the opportunity to do.
That's a perfect place to go to a break, because I heard you say engaged, get engaged, at least four times on that answer. Make sure,
and if I can just interject one thing.
Absolutely.
When you stand up and say something and you think you're clumsy about the way you say it, but you've made somebody else brave to stand up also.
Amen. Right?
So when one person says, my neighbor has a strong feeling about this, and like, wow, I do too. And sometimes momentum is started by one small push.
And right? That's where, if you look at the big changes that have occurred in our time in our country, it was a small push that started the momentum and made a change and made a difference, because every one of us has a voice and every one of us has responsibilities to exercise our rights when necessary.
People like to toss out the word, well, that's just a cliche. I have learned one very important thing in my life. They call it a cliche to try and dismiss it. They call it a cliche to demean it or deride it. The problem is the cliche is still true.
Absolutely. There's no doubt. Tomorrow on Jump in Tucson, Grant Kruger will be hosting Yuri Torito, owner of Torito Farm in Wilcox. So make sure after you listen to Christy Simone on Wake Up Tucson, you tune in and listen to Grant on Jump in Tucson. But please come back after this break, as there's still more to be discussed about our civic rights and responsibilities with Bill Beard. Listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. My guest today is Bill Beard, and Matt Neely continues to find some fine cuts from the early 70s. So it's great to hear. I want to make sure that I thank Tucson Appliance Company. They're going to be the newest sponsor to the Jump in Tucson Engagement Hour. Tucson Appliance is your local leader for all things appliances and has been for over 30 years. Family owned and operated since 1991 when Bill Edwards opened Tucson Appliance. At that time, named Priority Appliance. I like Tucson Appliance a lot better, I believe. But now the company's being run by his son, Chris, who's the owner, and his son, Corbin, serving as his future owner, as it will say on the website. They are incredibly engaged in the community and contribute to many different organizations. But next time you need an appliance, make sure you reach out to Tucson Appliance and see what all the hype is about. So, Bill, time's flown. We knew it would. I guess some of the listeners aren't going to get any of their civics, history, and government questions test, but I know this means we can come back and talk a lot of those issues at another future date, because there's a lot of great questions. Simple ones we might be able to answer, like how many amendments does the Constitution have? To your point, we start out with the Bill of Rights, 10, and now we're up to 27.
Right.
And some people believe 28. They just don't, the process hasn't gone through getting the final approval, and it's going to end up being a big issue on that one, but that's for another day too.
Yes.
One thing I want to just roll through real quick is on the list, and the list of those seven U.S. citizens, right, I got came from talking about U.S. citizenship and immigration, particularly what are the rights you have as a citizen, but also defines the responsibility. Some things, I think, being born in the country, we may not be as exposed to quite as often as those who take the time and the process and the procedures to learn what our founding documents are. They tend to understand some of what's also the responsibilities. I mentioned earlier, I had a great experience talking to an immigrant who was an Uber driver in Seattle, and he was so passionate about what our responsibilities as citizens do, and why don't more American citizens do what we're supposed to do.
And in my experience, some of the most impassioned people that are citizens you will ever meet are those new citizens.
Absolutely.
Where they had to go through the process of, you know, the paperwork and taking the tests and studying, et cetera, et cetera. It is dismissed in a way sometimes that I think we take for granted, you know, birthright citizenship, and that's going to be a big issue in the coming days and weeks and months.
Yes, it is.
The reality is, you know, if you're born in this country, you know, the minute you come out, you've got a set of rights and responsibilities that are just, that's automatically yours. It's like, you know, somebody came along and said, boom, this is yours. But back to that earlier point of the conversation, you've got to exercise those rights and be responsible about them. The ability to speak your mind, there is a point at which you should, you know, discretion would suggest you shouldn't, but some people go out and, you know, yell fire in a crowded theater kind of thing. There are consequences to those actions.
Absolutely.
And you have to understand that we can argue about the details of why we got and how we got to where we are. We are where we are because our forebears had some insight into humanity and said, no, this is what you should do moving forward. We can throw out the baby with the bathwater if we want to, but there are consequences if we do that. And, folks, you know, you can even go back to Thomas Jefferson. He was of the firm belief that, you know, every generation, the next generation should decide how they should govern themselves. And it wasn't until one of his friends basically came along and say, okay, I get why you're trying to say that, but there are consequences if you do that, because all of those rights and responsibilities we've articulated in this document came at the sacrifice of a lot of blood,
yes,
literal blood, to put those words in writing and earn those rights in a way that, you know, we, again, back to the idea, we sometimes take these things for granted. You've put on the military uniform. I have not. But every single person I've ever met that put on that uniform, they did something that the average person, I wish for even a nanosecond, could experience what that means when you decide to do that. You're literally signing a document that says, I'm willing to put my life on the line to uphold this system. And if you can argue that the system is corrupt, you can argue that the system is bad, you can argue that it was put together by a bunch of rich, white, homophobic, bigoted, misogynist, you know, et cetera, et cetera. The reality is, the alternative is a system that, for all of human history, says, rights, you don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I, because I have the power of the gun, I have the power of the blade, I have the power of the fist, I get to decide what you do.
And to your point on that one, that's the thing I think people miss. We live in a society that we are self-governing. We are self-ruling. The majority of the world's not that way.
No.
And you know, you go to certain segments of the world, and it is by the fist and the gun. And even some of the ones that you think weren't, they go back to that every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
As a way of a reminder. And I think that is what makes us so unique. Now, we've talked about it. I'm going to read the responsibilities that came off the U.S. Citizen website. To support and defend the Constitution, you kind of alluded to that in times. Stay informed of the issues affecting your community. Participate in the democratic process. Respect and obey federal, state, and local laws. Respect the rights, beliefs, and opinions of others. Participate in your local community. Pay income and other taxes honestly and on time to federal, state, and local authorities. Now, that's one a lot of people are really continue to be bothered by. Why should we pay for it? Especially if we don't like what's going on. Serving on a jury is one when called upon. Because, again, even our judicial system is based on self-govern.
Yep.
Your peers.
Yep.
And defend the country if need should arise. We've got so much more to talk about,
oh, yeah.
Bill. I mean, this is just scratching the surface. I greatly appreciate your time today.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate your expertise and your passion.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. You've been listening to Jump in Tucson on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Please tune in tomorrow and hope to have you on the air next week.